Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. For the first time in a long time, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Joining me from Fort Worth, Texas is Walker Lott. I will skip over his introduction because we have the return of the prodigal son joining us from Oklahoma City, Ryan Schroeder. Welcome back, son. How's it
What's
feel?
Up? What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? No, it's good to be back. I'm excited. Another great year of TXPS. I was out for a while, but we're back in action, ready for another year. I was behind the scenes for a while doing some stuff this past year. A lot of scoreboards, sometimes hopping on the Friday talks on Twitter and stuff, but we're back on it, man. Back on the episodes, back on doing everything. So super excited. And hopefully being able to help out here from Oklahoma City. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. We are excited to have you back and back out from under the shackles of Oklahoma State Athletics. No compliance department can keep you down any longer. Walker Lott, how are you doing? A lot of kind of busy season for us, especially with you regarding the retreat. That is now done. We get to get into a bunch of fun now leading into normal season stuff. How's it feel?
It feels good, you know. Our summer is, kind of over now, crazily enough. Hopefully, we'll be able to release more content to y'all next couple of weeks. I just finished moving out of my apartment that I've lived there for 4 years, so that took some time. And so we're in a 2 week vacation back home, basically. So until my setup is ready to go again, but it should be pretty cool. I have some ideas for my new setup at my new place, so it should be pretty cool. But yeah, we're excited. You know, back to the preview season. In 2 days, about to hit August. So it's almost Texas high school football season. This is, I believe, the week of recording this is the Taps dead week. So right after this, I believe, is when we start going into 2 days, and this is when it gets all started. So very exciting times.
Absolutely. It's crazy to think that it's already here. Speaking of setups, I would like to briefly apologize for mine, obviously, as you can see by my camera quality and all the U-Haul boxes in the back. It's not my normal setup. I am house sitting for a family friend that has 5 Great Pyrenees dogs. So I am a little bit got my hands full, but the next time you see me, I should have all of my nice setup back. Hopefully I'll get the records in the background at some point again. You won't be looking at the back of a bunch of U-Haul boxes. So with all that out of the way, let us briefly I didn't even mention it. This is the Taps Division I season preview. We do these every year. We preview several of the divisions in private school. We're going to start at the top with Taps Division I. Before we get into that, because trust me, there's a lot to get into, we're going to go over some brief talking points about the summer so far, what we've been doing, and some big news points. One that has just dropped that took us all by surprise. Max Granville from Fort Bend Christian, the 4-star edge rusher, one of the best prospects we have seen in recent memory in TXPS. We knew that he had committed to Penn State. We did an interview with him about a month ago. We knew he was going to commit to a powerful school. We did not know that he would be foregoing his senior year of high school in order to enroll early. That news just broke. And honestly, there's a part of me that wants to be like, no, Max should stay and get the experience and play one more year in high school football. It's a great, and it's probably the best decision for him. I'd love to hear y'all's opinions, but to get him into a collegiate program as soon as possible, it seemed like the best decision for a guy that has his eyes on a pro career. Walker Lott, your thoughts?
No, it's exciting, and I think it's going to be something you see more often in private school. I know there's a couple other guys. You know, Cole Welliver was a guy who graduated early for the spring to go to UConn early. So this is not something that's, you know, anything special. A lot of people graduate in December, private and public. This is a common thing, but this is something that's irregular, where kind of out of the blue, where he just foregoes his entire senior year and very exciting things, and that, you know, that also attests to him in the classroom, because how many summer classes does that man have to take to get this done in the past 3 years? Like, truly, like, his summers of going to camps, doing all this, is probably then going straight back and doing more classroom work to get this classes done. So you have to really be, you know, that's tough to do. So yeah, you know, we were the first to ever see him, you know, and cover him. And, you know, that was Wes's claim to fame. And, but no, it's seriously, like, we were the first ones to watch him and seeing how much he grew. I remember Wes and I talking on the ride home one day from a game and being like, this guy's going to be the real deal. And he proved us right. So best of luck to him. On the football side of things, I mean, this is a great decision for him because, first, like, being able to go in the, and like it's funny because there's not probably a better high school weight room than with Jordan Black in the weight room, like truly. So, and you see that in how he is, like he's just a monster in the weight room. But there, I think really there's a difference going to the collegiate level, in the weight room aspect, and that's really what this is going to help him with is doing a year. He's going to learn the ropes. He's going to be able to do the classes, and I think private school is going to help him with that a little bit, just the workload of a college classes. But it's going to help him in the weight room because yes, will he probably not see the field as a incoming senior in high school in his first year in college? Probably not. But being able to be around the team, know the offense, know the defense, be in the weight room, learn how to be a college athlete is going to help him massively and get an edge on any other people coming in his class next year. It's going to be a big, big benefit for him, and I'm excited to see how it pans out for the next couple of years. It's exciting times.
Absolutely. Hey, maybe knowing the offense would be a benefit for him. We saw him play some receiver this past year and he dominated there. So maybe they can slot him in at tight end or something.
There
Ryan
you go.
Schroeder, obviously huge news in the TXPS landscape. Your thoughts on Max Granville foregoing his senior season and heading up to the wideout?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, right? You talk about the amount of classes you have to take in order for something like this to happen, the amount of like whatever it may be to graduate in 3 years. One thing I really translate this to is like it's kind of just like an age thing and how things work. And at least the number one thing I know about is the NBA world, right? In the NBA draft, there are guys that are 1 year out of college, right? 19 years old, and then the youngest guys, and then there's 22-year-old guys, 23-year-old guys that have played 5 years in college, 4 years in college, and they could be better than the guys that are 19 years old or whatever, right? But you're not going to choose a guy that's already 4 years older. You choose what's the word called? Projection over how they are currently. You see the future and what they could be, and that means more. And age actually means more in some aspects. So you relate that to the football world where you have to wait 3 years to go to the NFL in some capacity or another. If Max was to perform at the high level that he was in the high school form in the college level at Penn State in 3 years, he'll still be younger than every other person in his class, allowing for more growth and a longer career in the NFL. NFL teams look at this stuff, and I think it's definitely seen in the NBA, but NFL teams look at this stuff too. Being younger is always a plus.
That's a super great analogy, not one that I thought about. Walker.
I'll make a quick point so we can move on, but I do think knowing Max, he's one of the most mature guys we've ever met on this circuit in high school. He's gonna fit right in over there, and I think it's gonna be awesome for him. And I think also we never really talked about his commitment. Penn State's a great spot for him, and I'm excited to see him kind of play that truly the Michael Parsons type of role where you line him off on the edge if you want, or you can play him as a stand-up linebacker. He's that versatile of an athlete. He can do kind of both. And so I think Penn State kind of sold that to him, and you're going to see that on the field. It's going to be exciting to watch. And I also wanted to say quickly, on the video we posted when he after the thing, I forgot to say knitting, knitting. You see, this is why I didn't put it in there.
Nittany Lions.
Nittany Lions. You see, I don't know how to say it. I just can't. So I knew it was that. I just didn't say it. And so if anyone was like, wait, why do you not say it? I knew it. I can't say it. Can't say it.
That's funny. Whenever Walker sent me the video to review, and I looked at it at work, and I was like, the video is perfect. The only thing is, they're the Nittany Lions. Technically, I don't think I was like, if this makes it to Penn State Twitter, they might be mad. But honestly, that's something that we can bear.
Nittany?
Nittany.
Yeah, Nittany.
Nittany.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't pronounce the T's as much as I did, but yeah, it's Nittany.
Nittany. Okay.
That is a hard word to say. I never thought about it. But if we get on this subject, this episode's gonna be 3 hours long. So congratulations to Max Granville. Great spot for him. Moving on briefly, we actually already recorded a whole episode talking about TAPSCon and not 7-on-7, this is before that, but regarding TAPSCon, Walker, Ryan, and Waverly were there, did a great job, a ton of interviews. I will let you guys take this segment over and we can move through it before TAPS D1. But starting off, some great interviews with the heads and the faces of TAPS. Walker, I mean, what did we get there?
Yeah, this is going to be kind of like a, have some other like organizations do like countdown towards towards like the first week of the season. That's kind of how we're going to plan those interviews, kind of spread them out over the next couple of weeks, post them when we can, when we are all at time. They have jobs. I'm getting ready for grad school. So we'll post them when we can, but that's kind of our thing for that. But the interviews are really great. A lot of head coaches, a lot of big ADs. And the biggest, of course, were the two heads of TAPS. Brian Bunselmeyer and Steve Prudhomme were there, and we sat down with them and talked a lot about the state of TAPS and truly what they kind of find rewarding in TAP. So it's a very interesting conversations. Hopefully we'll get to post them pretty soon, but truthfully, it was really fun and it was awesome to see them answer questions that a lot of people wanted answers to. And we talked about the state of recruiting in private school, and they gave great answers about, hey, basically part of private school is private school is different than public because you have to attract students and families to those schools. Part of that is recruiting. There's ways to go about that legally and illegally. And they talked about it like if it's recruiting legally where the kid wants to come here and it's not the coaches wanting the kid there, that's totally fine. And they gave great answers, and hopefully we'll post them really soon that you'll understand what they say. But it was really insightful to kind of hear the minds of private school that you don't really have that at UIL, the heads of TAPS or you head of UIL saying this, this, and this. They don't really do that. It was cool to see them do that. We talked about the state championship venues, which is really cool, where they're kind of looking into seeing where's the best possible avenue for venues as such. They talked about their best athletes they've ever seen in TAPS. That was really cool. Talking about like Julius Randle back in the day at Preston Wood and stuff like that. There's some other good answers. We asked some couple fun questions and stuff. Another thing that was really cool, we had a lot of football coaches on. Those are our main interviews. Novikov, Rich McGuire, others. And it was funny. I'll end it with this, and then Ryan, you can say whatever you want. We asked them in the football panel. No one asked a question besides a couple coaches, but the more media side, I asked one question to McGuire, Novikov, and the other LaVorne and Harrison over at Central at Holy Cross. And I asked them, would you want to change the venue for the state championships? If so, where? Thank you. And it was funny because Novikov picked up the mic and said, yes, absolutely. Anywhere we can help out, we can do whatever. Yes. And he kind of put up that mic. And I think that's this kind of the statement where we love the venue at Waco. It's a nice venue. It's a great location. But I think for the kids, it needs to be bigger. A bigger stadium, it doesn't have to be full, but it's really cool to be able to go into a college locker room and be able to be there and then walk out of the field of a college stadium or somewhere else. So just a little bit bigger to make it show like, hey, it's a pretty cool atmosphere that we're in. So I think that's something that I think they attested a lot of the private school coaches. And I think we also definitely retweet basically their message on that. So.
Absolutely. Ryan Schroeder, overall thoughts on TAPSCon and anything Walker said?
Yeah, I was just going to hit on right what he just said right there because it's top of mind at the moment. But obviously, we talked to McGuire and Novikov about what they said, you know, and the changing of the venue. But we also talked to the TAPS guys as well about what they thought about change of venue. And if you look, I think we posted a couple, but we're going to post more in the next couple weeks. Their response is kind of like, hey, why we're going to keep it in Waco? It's kind of like, you know, why they want to keep it in Waco. So you kind of have two differing sides of what kind of TAPS wants at the moment, or what they see fit, why they've chose Waco, and then kind of what, you know, the average high level coach in TAPS wants. With that being said, you know, Novikov and McGuire definitely, you know, were the two that felt like were very knowledgeable on what they were talking about from the recruiting side of the world and stuff. And a couple quotes I had, you know, Novikov talking about how there's like no geographic boundary for, you know, guys in the area and stuff. That's one big thing they were talking about over UIL. You know, he's talking about some of the restrictions he faces from, you know, Parrish and how, you know, they kind of work together to fit things up and how some schools face restrictions about number of kids per class size and all this kind of stuff. And kind of using football as an outlet to, you know, hey, we have Harvard on campus for football players, right? Why are we not like Harvard's not going to come to us for any other reason, you know, like they're not going to come to us just to, you know, hear out kids that want to go to school there. We have Harvard on campus for football. Let's use that. Let's use the sport to then excel kids to going to these great schools and stuff. So really interesting interviews and stuff like that. McGuire was the exact same way, talking about his role with like middle school kids and stuff too. Super interesting for both of them. You get in the basketball world a little bit. I'll hit on it for 2 seconds. We know we talked to a couple different coaches in that area, a little bit more along the lines of AAU coaches and stuff, which is a difference between 7-on-7, which is football related, some AAU coaches, and kind of like how to manage that relationship and how to basically trust AAU coaches and build a relationship where like, hey, I trust you that you're not going to say anything in my kids and parents' ears and stuff like that about moving a kid somewhere else. So We got a lot of information from that. TAPSCon was incredible. We were the only media outlet there, to be honest with you. There's a couple other like different things, but it kind of felt funny. When you said we asked the only question, I was like, Yeah, we kind of asked. We were probably the only media outlet taking pictures, you know, writing stuff down. There was a lot of coaches there, but it was fun. Everyone was super cool. Really a cool thing that Taps does that. I agree. If UIL doesn't really have the capability to do that with how many schools they have and stuff, but I think Taps does a great job of it, and that was a cool 2-day event.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so valuable and what I appreciate so much about we do is we can basically connect, because whenever people think of Taps, they think of this kind of this dark entity, not dark, but kind of like this high level. It's like Big Brother. They're always watching, but you don't know who they are. And I think I'm so incredibly glad y'all got to sit down and get interviews with guys like Brian and Steve, guys who we've come to know over the past few years and are super, super nice, genuine people. And to be able to have those interviews and basically have us on behalf of the people ask them the questions the people want and have them give a straight answer. I mean, I think it's awesome. And when those interviews come out, I think they're going to be super, super useful for everyone that has all these questions they want to ask, but have never had a medium to ask them. So I'm really grateful that y'all got to go down and get some great, great content there. That'll wrap up Taps Gone. Moving on to Taps 7-on-7 that Walker and I got to cover, one of our favorite events that we do every year. This year, we were down for both 2 days, the first time that we have done that. Got to see a lot of action, soak up a lot of sun, try to avoid heat stroke as best we could. But overall, Midland Christian wins Taps 7-on-7, the Taps 7-on-7 Platinum Bracket. We'll talk about that briefly. Walker, they looked good, and we posted an interview after it. But I mean, Midland is always going to Midland. They look good. They talk smack while doing it. I mean, it was incredibly entertaining to watch. What did you take away from that Midland Christian Platinum Bracket victory?
For their first time not in the UIL bracket for a first time, they made their presence known. And it was fun to watch. Some teams are really good at 7-on-7, and some teams are just, there for fun. They're a bit of both, where they're very good at 7-on-7, but they're also they're to have fun too. And so yeah, it was fun to time, and I mean they didn't lose a game over 2 days, and they play a lot of games in Tap 7-on-7. So it was fun to watch. There's not really much to talk about because we'll talk about every team in 5 minutes. But overall, it was a really good venue. Very good time. Got to see a lot of kids compete that we're not usually able to see, so that was fun. A lot of shaking hands, saying hello. Really good times, and I will never forget the subway that we had in between the championship game. That was
Disgusting. It was horrendous. And again, that's not any shade at Taps or Subway. That is only because I went to pick up a sandwich and I checked after this, and this is right. It had the word turkey written on it. I bit into it. It was tuna. I almost vomited. Having a tuna sandwich in 103 degree heat when you're incredibly dehydrated is probably a top three worst experience I've ever had in my entire life. Again,
No
not
problem.
Taps' problem. Actually, it is Subway. It's whoever wrote the word turkey on a tuna sandwich.
Are you sure you're just not blind?
Listen, I saw the T. I'm pretty sure it said turkey. I really didn't go back and verify afterwards, so I'm
Dude,
just kind of making that
it
up.
said TU probably, and he's like, "Oh yeah, TU, that's turkey, right?"
Listen, man, I know people from East Texas typically aren't the sharpest knives in the drawer, but there is no way I mistook tuna for turkey. Anyways, it was disgusting. I've now talked about my tuna sandwich more than I have most other concepts in this episode so far. But yeah, it's like what Walker said. We've learned after the St. Michael's debacle of 2022, we have learned not to put too much stock into 7-on-7. That's not to say Midland Christian is not going to be really good, because they most likely will be. However, we're never going to look at a team coming out of 7-on-7, regardless of performance, and say they're going to win state, because we've gotten burned doing that, and we got burned badly.
I'll still hold to my belief that if they didn't get hurt like 3 weeks into the season, that St. Mike's team was going to be different. But
Yeah,
I'll hold my
their
tongue.
team, that team got hurt really bad. I think that is, because I like to give, I give y'all credit for that and stuff like that. Because, I think there is some value in this. But yeah, theoretically speaking, 7-on-7 is a different animal, and I agree. But yeah, I don't hate y'all, because the injuries that year definitely took down St. For anyone from that team from St. Michael's that's watching, y'all were cold, and yeah, injuries just kind of faded that out for sure.
Yeah, picking them over regions and the regions dog walking them kind of led to one of the worst beatdowns we've had on social media in recent years. But that's what makes this fun. If pe people wouldn't chirp us if they didn't watch, so I'll take it. It's always fun to rile regions up, more or less. But That being said, that's tap 7-on-7. Fantastic time. Again, like Walker said, probably my favorite part of that isn't even watching the football. It's getting to go and shake hands and talk to people. It's super valuable, and I'm really glad we get to do it. Moving on, last item of business before we get into the meat of the episode, the TXPS retreat. So I said how valuable Tap 7-on-7 and Taps Con were. This is the most valuable thing that we do every year. It is my favorite. It's the brainchild of Walker Lott. It's such an incredible opportunity to bring the community together and, yes, compete, obviously, but more than anything, have people meet each other and connect and try to give y'all something to walk away from if you're wanting to play at the next level. Bring people that have played at the next level and give them their advice so you can glean some of that information. Walker, I mean, it seemed like it went fantastically. I'm sorry I couldn't be there for longer. I would have loved to meet people more. I had a memorial I had to go through, but I mean, how in your mind did it all play out, and what'd you take away from it?
I think it, man, it leading up to the event, I was nervous because I was, I don't know, this and this and this. And, you know, with also a hurricane also happening that week, it was a crazy time in Texas. And so we were like, we didn't know what to expect. And we came in, and I think it went awesome. And I think it really was a great time. The guys that showed up were awesome. We competed, and we had guys that tell me that, hey, this was the most fun I had in a college camp or a camp type environment the entire, like my entire summer. Like I actually enjoyed this, and it was really cool to see that and kids just have fun and get away from a bit and just have, you know, be football players and have fun, be kids. So it was a really cool environment. And, you know, I think a lot of people got a lot out of it. We saw kids that we weren't able to ever see in person for a while now.
Right.
And guys like Grant Sweeney from TMI Episcopal, guys down in San Antonio, Garrett Tyser, that we weren't able to see last year, we got to see him play and dominate. And we even Brody Clark from Six Man, he came out and dominated and showed out a little bit. So that was really cool to watch too. So you had guys from different environments, different locations around the state, just go have fun, go ball out a little bit. And I think it was a really cool time. And I want to say thank you to, goodness, cut. I want to say thank you to AP Ranch for hosting the event. That was awesome. And shout out to him and Foster Sawyer. He's the dude, football operations over there. They had a couple guys out there that coaches wise. Freaking Jonathan Gray was out there helping out, which, if you know anything about Texas high school football, is one of the best to ever do it at Aledo. One of the best to ever do it in Texas high school football. Two-time National Gatorade Player of the Year. Like, this guy's legit. And he just came out on a Saturday and helped us out. And I didn't even know he was going to come. Like, that's how cool the event-wise, coaching-wise, it was really, really cool. Thank you to all the former athletes that came out. Carson Rogers, Hunter McCoy, Luke Dodd, Jalen Talton, and then also for the panel, Nana Osofano Mensa just came by for the panel, and that was really cool for him to come by. And that is a friend of mine from years past, being both in Fort Worth. Having a guy from him, they all had great perspectives on college ball, but for him, it was really cool to have a guy who's done the transfer portal and is playing at the highest level, and basically be upfront and frank with him and talk to him about that and talk about NIL and how that is, you know, used in nowadays. And it was really, really cool to see from his point of view and talk to these kids. And it was really cool. I was watching because he was speaking, and then I looked at the crowd, and not one eye in the whole crowd was not on him, because the guys understood what he was meaning. It was real. And I thought that was really cool. So, other than that, really good time. Go watch the video. I want to post, hopefully by this time, we'll post like photos and stuff from the event out on our socials. So you get a little, just more content on your feed about the TXPS retreat, guys who won the MVP, clips of him, the couple guys. I will say MVP, quarterback MVP was Landon Gigliotta from Fort Worth Christian. Wide receiver MVP was Enzo Bingham from Plano Prestonwood. And DB, I believe, was Rome Stanford from St. Pius. So, really good turnout. Those guys balled out, and they absolutely deserved it. So, good time, good vibes, and hopefully a little bit bigger next year. We'll see. But we're going to keep climbing and climbing that mountain for TXPS, so it's a good time.
Absolutely. Ryan Schroeder, is great to have you back at that event and getting you back in the mix with things. What did you take away for the TXPS retreat?
I kept telling them the entire time I was there for like the first like 10, 15, 20 minutes. I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is so cool. I was not able to be a part of it last summer, not because of anything else, but besides I just had an internship in North Carolina, so I wasn't able to be there. And honestly, it was one of the coolest things ever. It was one of the coolest things I had ever. I told everybody I knew about it and stuff like that. I just really love the event so much, and I also had to leave early before the speakers and all that kind of stuff. But obviously, it was incredible, and I really enjoyed all of it. Enjoyed playing basketball with, the guys I got to play with in the other gym and stuff like that. That was a ton of fun. It was just really cool, being able to kind of like, show my face and stuff too. I know one of the biggest things about me was that I wasn't around, some of these guys in a while and all that. And then just seeing guys like Gibby Alvarado, and I'm like, I've known you for years. Like you, that is hilarious. Got to speak with him and his dad, which was super cool. And so yeah, it's been super cool. It was a super cool event. And I think AP Ranch is just the coolest like spot for that. It was something I really didn't realize because I wasn't there last year and stuff, but there's so many capabilities of what we feel like we can do with that, relationship we have with them and stuff like that. Thank you to Foster Story and everyone else there and stuff. They were incredible. I proposed this idea to Walker and Wes and stuff, and I'm gonna propose it right now because I think it's really cool. I don't know what I guess what y'all could ask, what y'all think as well from Wes and Walker, but we want to hear the audience perspective too. Potentially when it comes down to it, we would love to maybe potentially have an all-star game there eventually. There is a aspect of some way. I feel like there's stands on both sides a little bit. There's a couple of variety of ways that we could figure it out. And I think that's the next step of what we've thought about in the future is some sort of way to keep expanding. The retreat was incredible this year. We want to expand it next year, but I would love to think about maybe it's potentially having an all-star game. And I wonder what y'all's thoughts are, or potentially in the thoughts of maybe our audience as well, because I think it'd be a really cool thing we could put together. I know it might be freezing cold outside in December, but we might figure something out.
No, I mean, I think it'd be a really cool idea, Walker.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely the goal. And the more we can do to help private school, the better. And I think lift up private school. And there's yeah, it's definitely an idea we've had, and hopefully one day we can actually achieve it for sure.
It's definitely an idea that's been discussed behind the scenes several times. So again, for sake of not making this episode 4 hours long, we'll shelf that. But just know that it's been floated around. We'll get back to you when we get back to you.